You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the Labor Party.
23 MPs made the news last weekend for using their accommodation supplement to rent back their own homes. The accommodation supplement is an entitlement for out-of-Wellington-based MPs to have the place they stay when in Wellington covered under their employment. In some cases, including with MP Anina Williams, MP uses supplements to pay off the mortgage of a second or third home. Other recent political news includes the opposition to the proposed fast-track legislation and criticism of how the recently announced budget will negatively impact already marginalised groups. I chat about all of these topics with Labour's Anina Williams for our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party. I started by asking if she thinks it's okay for MPs to be enabled to become multiple homeowners as a result of the supplement they claim.
The issue with the accommodation allowance is that MPs are required to be in Wellington for work. And for people like me who are primarily based in electorates outside of Wellington who own property in the capital, the allowance contributes to a mortgage instead of a hotel. It's within the rules and it's important that those are independently set, but it's also important to step back and look at how we're allowing people from different backgrounds, different parts of the country, different family situations to live and work in Wellington when we're required to be there.
But do you not think it encourages people to make decisions that advantages those already able to be involved in property investments? You could just rent a flat, for example, in Wellington instead.
I think that's an interesting question. There are too many incentives for landlords already, and we've seen that the government is making a suite of policy choices which benefit landlords over renters, and in my view those are the wrong decisions to be making. But in this case it's also important to allow people choices to be the representatives in Parliament that we need. We need more people to want to come to Parliament, we need more young people to come to Parliament, we want more women, more people with families. The allowances make sure that there are no barriers to people doing the job.
But do you think it's fair that you can then sell the home that you have in Wellington and make the capital gains off it?
I think the question that you're asking there is really about whether the capital gains should be realised in the first place, whether there is something there to fare more fairly and there's a problem with our property market. But, you know, in this case, I think it's something that I think really carefully about, and I think we'll probably see change about that in the future. But for now, those are the rules.
And over the weekend, there was a massive protest against the fast-track consent process in Auckland. Something like 20,000 people turned up. Labor has been quite critical of the fast-track consenting process. Will your party commit to revoking any consents granted by this government?
How good was that, that so many tens of thousands of people showed up and said that this fast-track bill is not only a war on the environment, but it's also wrong from a democratic perspective, and they stood up and they defended that. Labor has committed to a system of environmental protections. We don't believe that three ministers, Chris Bishop, Simeon Brown, should be making all of the decisions when it comes to long-term environmental decisions. Our systems, even in emergency situations like in the wake of COVID, always provided for experts to be making those kind of environmental trade-offs, which are getting walked all over by this law.
But under this process, the government could grant consents for things like offshore drilling. Would Labor overturn these, or would you continue to allow these if you get back into power?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something we've been thinking about very carefully. The industry should be really worried about the uncertainty that this law introduced by the coalition government is creating in the system and whether those consents can be relied upon. There's also a question about how if businesses were relying on these consents granted through the fast track process would be considered by the courts and by local authorities. You know, I think we do have to be very careful when businesses are making decisions based on what is quite an unstable process introduced by the coalition.
And I also wanted to talk about the budget. What are your general thoughts on it?
Hey, great question, because this is a do-nothing budget for young people. Things like the fast track bill are borrowing from young people's futures, and young people should be really sceptical when the coalition government is making decisions which take no account of the long-term decisions which need to be made here about New Zealand's environment for the good of one or two projects around the country now that create some kind of economic benefit, but also go straight into the hands of corporates. We need to be thinking about long-term investment in young people's future, but Treasury came out alongside the budget documents and said that unemployment is scheduled to rise to 5.3%. That means that young people will disproportionately be bearing the burden of this government's decisions at budget time, because we won't be able to get jobs when we're out there looking for jobs after study. There's also cuts to things like the apprenticeship boost, which meant that more young people could get into trades and skilled work. I think we're going to see a return to a period like the global financial crisis, when I was first a job seeker in South Auckland, out there competing alongside more experienced professionals for the same jobs that I was looking at. And that meant that a lot of the people who I'd studied with just upped and left. It's really concerning when young people also are losing the dreams of home ownership, with the government taking away things like the first home buyers grants and things that actually genuinely helped first buyers into the market, at the same time as they're extending a $2.9 billion tax cut to landlords to give them an institutional advantage over the young people who are trying to buy first home buyers at the same auctions and the same sales. It's just something we need to change, because young people need to have hope for our economy and they need to have hope to stay in New Zealand.
Does the budget leave some young people behind in particular? There's been a lot of discussions about how this budget will impact Māori and LGBTQ plus people, for example.
Yeah, cool question. So absolutely. And when we think about the way that the housing market is already inequitable, you look at home ownership rates for, say, Pacific people and Māori, it's around 8%. That entrenches long-standing debt, because it means that people aren't saving for a home. Instead, they're spending their money on rent, they're spending their money on other things, and it means that people can't get ahead in life. We also know that for LGBTQ people, in times of rising unemployment and home ownership going down, that those two things also massively affect those people. We need to build more houses in New Zealand. We don't need a government that is cutting its public housing build program and making it harder for people to get into homes. But we also need to think about the impact of debt on people and the effect that that's having on our home ownership rates of people who otherwise can't get into it with parental help.
And what would you say to the young people who have seen this budget and lost faith in politics?
I want you to come out and march in the streets about it, just like we did on Saturday. The kind of people power that we need to change this government is going to be huge, but we can do it, because with tools like community organising, with getting out there, with uniting around causes like the fast track legislation, like the school lunches and schools being cut, those bring together a coalition of people who can change the tide in our politics at the moment. What we need is a return to some consensus around the fact that we want New Zealanders to own homes, that we want New Zealanders to have jobs, and that we want rising wages. We also want a consensus around our public services, public schools, public access to healthcare. But the government that's in charge right now did a lot to look at the election time as if they believed in all of those things, but they don't. They're bringing back things like charter schools, they're cutting school lunches, they're taking away people's access to healthcare through not funding things like the Māori Health Authority. We need a return to some of those things which mean that everyone can get ahead in New Zealand.
That was Labour's Arona Williams on the accommodation supplement, opposition to fast-track legislation, and what the budget means for young people.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.